This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Wednesday night, taking you up until 2 a.m. now Thursday morning as the Phillies season is over. Phillies unfinished business playoff coverage has been presented by Delaware Valley Honda as the Phils lose to the Mets 4-1. They lose the series 3-1. And want to know, you know, what frustrated you? I mean, for me, it's the offense. The offense just brutal all series long. And this game on Wednesday was like, it was like the game was a representation of the whole series. As you're watching it play out, and just so many opportunities for the Phillies to take command, you know, to grab the game and to grab the series. Because, I mean, the Mets weren't doing anything. And especially like the fifth inning, man, that stadium and, you know, not the fan shame here, because honestly, I think one thing that we kind of have realized more and more over the last couple of years, home field advantage doesn't mean nearly as much as we thought it did. For as much as we thought, oh, the bank is so intimidating, it really comes down to how the players perform on the field. But that Citi Field atmosphere was terrible. I mean, they were dead quiet when the Mets were down 1-0 in the fifth inning, and the Phillies just, they had so many opportunities, and it felt like every time they had a chance to really seize control, they'd swing at a pitch in the dirt, or they'd have a bad at bat. And that fifth inning, even, and that was when I really had a horrible feeling for where the game was headed. Because the Phillies got on top, they got a run, and it felt like such a missed opportunity that they didn't get more. Because Trey Turner leads off the inning, swings at a 3-1 pitch way out of the zone, ends up striking out, and you don't get that runner on. JT Realmuto comes up after you get the first run and has Nick Castellanos on third base, less than two outs, swings at a pitch way out of the zone, 2-0 count, pops it up, you don't get another run. And just you knew at that point, and then in the sixth they had opportunities, you're not able to add on. Just the offense missing chances to score runs, missing chances to put up crooked numbers. I mean, that was really the difference, and that's what really killed this team. Bullpen imploded. Rob Thompson probably should have had a contingency plan ready when Jeff Hoffman was obviously losing control in the sixth inning. And, you know, just a disaster, a disastrous series. I think this team needs to look different next year. And again, I don't know what you do. I don't think there are easy fixes. As I said, my dream scenario is probably not going to happen. The number one thing I'd want to do, I want to trade Trey Turner. I want this dude gone. I think he is a $300 million albatross. I think it is probably, all things considered, the worst contract in baseball. And I'd call every team. And I'd ask, you know, if you're willing to take this guy on. I don't think anybody's going to, so you're probably stuck with it. There's only 8 years, $240 million left on the deal. But, man, I've seen nothing in 2 years from Trey Turner to make me think this dude's a winning player. And another awful series from him. JT Realmuto, another one. Nothing you can do about it. JT Realmuto's done, man. And stinks to say. Guy was a good catcher here for you know, what, 6 years at this point? JT Realmuto is so cooked. I mean, he is so done as an offensive player. You're basically paying a defensive specialist $20 million a year. He's probably going to be back. I don't see anything to do with him. I know a popular idea will be to trade Castellanos. I mean, Castellanos was probably your best hitter in the series and was probably your best hitter the last 4 months of the season. So, I mean, you could trade him, but he's really your only reliable outfield bat right now. This is a team that's deeply flawed. Like, that's the reality. And I really don't know what you do to fix this lineup. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll get back to the phones here in one moment. But I do want to just give a figurative hat tip to Ranger Suarez today. Because of all the bad things that happened, Ranger Suarez, that dude's got some stones, man. I mean, you look at the second half of the season, we know Ranger wasn't right. He clearly, his arm was tired, didn't have it, but Ranger Suarez goes out, gives you 4 1/3, works out a jam after jam, tightrope Ranger, and I mean, yeah, he didn't go too deep. 4 1/3, though, hey, if you told me coming in, Ranger Suarez would go 4 1/3 scoreless, I would have taken it. So a hat tip to Ranger Suarez, and let the record reflect that, and the Phillies starting pitching was largely good in the series. Worst outing, Aaron Nola. 100, and I'll say, not a horrible outing, but is how I described Aaron Nola's outing last night.
Underwhelming?
Underwhelming. Gives up 2 solo home runs, leaves Orion Kerkering a mess that he almost works out of. And, hey, the reality is the reality. You had 4 starts in the series. Aaron Nola gave you the worst one. I don't think it's really questionable.
Yeah, I certainly. Now, Suarez went.
Certainly not ace, not an ace material.
Well, are we still doing the ace thing with Nola?
I'm back on fake ace.
You're back on fake ace.
I mean, he gave you the worst outing, did he not?
So he finished with, if we're going pure numbers here, he went how many innings?
5 plus. Didn't record an out in the 6th inning and left the bases loaded next to Kerkering.
Suarez came out
4 1/3 scoreless.
4 1/3 scoreless.
Sanchez 5, gave up 2 runs. So.
If Nola only went 4, some of this is based on expectation. If Nola had only gone 4 1/3.
Right, but Nola should be doing more than what he did.
And correct.
Of course.
Suarez, the bar was set low, he cleared it.
Who could have guessed that would haunt Aaron Nola is home runs and walks? I mean, who would have possibly predicted? And again, I'm not trying to rip Nola.
I was going to say the offense was worse.
There were a lot of issues in the series. This is somewhat bit related, but also, I mean, I just, for $170 million, I want more than eh.
He takes down innings.
I want more than eh.
I understand. I understand.
Don't give up bombs, but the least of the Phillies' issues, the issues were the offense and the bullpen. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Angelo in Pottstown. What's up, Angelo?
Yeah, hey, TK, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man. So thanks for calling.
I called last night. I told you I was frustrated. Okay, yeah. I do have problems with Rob Thompson. He's got Sanchez on the bench. Why don't you just bring him in after that long inning?
Yeah, and Angelo, in retrospect, that is what he should have done. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you have Sanchez out there. He said he was available for 30 to 35 pitches. And, yeah, I was okay with sending Hoffman back out there originally. But as that inning went on, as it was so long, he probably should have just gone to Sanchez there. Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem with this team was the only 2 players that showed up this entire series were who? Wheeler and Suarez. That's it. Everybody came up so small. You got Bryce Harper. He hits a double. No outs. Man on on second base. They don't even move him. 2 strikeouts and a weak ground ball to first base. I mean, that's just typical for this team in the last playoff series. They come up so small. We all thought that Trey Turner was a great pickup. Mm-hmm. Now we know it is garbage. It's complete garbage.
I'll tell you what.
I could have done better at the plate than he did.
No, Angelo, and especially, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Brandon Marsh here or Bryson Stott. We're talking about a guy you're paying $300 million. You give a guy that kind of money, he needs to be a difference maker. And relative to the contract, he stinks. Like, he really does. For that, what he's being paid, he stinks.
We've read this novel. We've read every chapter. It's the same thing, night in and night out. They just swing at everything. It's just, it's so freaking frustrating. I'm so sick and tired of it. You know, it's a good thing I work from home. It's a good thing I'm remote. I can take off early and watch a garbage game at 5:08. And what do? They score one measly run tonight in a do-or-die game. They don't even show up. I mean, why even bother? And now we're faced with watching the Eagles, Sixers, and Flyers. It's going to be a long winter, my son. It's going to be a long winter.
LiAngelo, I mean, when have the Sixers ever let us down? Like, ask yourself that question.
Never. I'm 61 years old, actually. I'm 60. 61 years old. I've seen it all. You know, this team, the teams that we have in this city, we're so lucky that the Eagles won. Finally won the Super Bowl, because it's going to be a long time before we see anything like that in this city.
Angelo, I mean, that is true. And I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. Hang in there. Can you imagine the mindset of this city if the Eagles had not won that Super Bowl? I mean, my God.
We'd be back to the same mindset of the 2000s. Like, it would be a 2008 was how many years ago?
16.
It'd be a 16-year title drought. It got up to 25 the first time. We'd be asking ourselves whether this one would be longer.
Yeah. But
it would be the only title in like a 45-year span.
And this is the sick thing. Like, and we are sick people for continuing to buy in and continuing to get excited. I'm legitimately excited for the Sixers. Like,
that's your own fault.
I know, but I can't help it. Like, I'm seeing the training camp stuff, and you know, Paul George. And I'm not the biggest Paul George fan, but as a third option, and Caleb Martin, and you know, they're deep. I don't know. Kind of Sixered up a little bit.
This is
the Knicks trade helps. Carl Anthony Towns is a loser. I think that helps. I mean, the Sixers are. They're a
Boston. Not like Randall was a winner.
No, but Towns is the ultimate loser. I think he's the biggest loser in sports, maybe besides Trey Turner. But, I mean, the Sixers are a Boston Celtic implosion away from being the best team in the East. I mean, is this positivity helping anybody here?
Not tonight. I think the important thing to remember here, and this is what no one wants to hear on a night like this, is that only one team can win the championship every year in every sport. It is hard to win championships. Now, you look at a city like Boston, they don't really make it look hard.
But that's not what this is about, though. That's not what this series is about.
It's not what this series is about, but you're talking about the title drought overall.
Right. Well, that's what, the caller brought up.
Yeah. And the caller brought it up. No, the Phillies, like, it's hard to win championships. Only one out of 30 teams can do it. But the Phillies were among the favorites to do it. And especially after the season they had, this is entirely underwhelming for it to end this way specifically.
Yeah, and it is funny too, because you realize how little national like analysts actually watch the teams play. Because when everybody, because you know, a lot of the experts were picking the Phillies heading into the playoffs to win the World Series. I'm like, did they watch these guys play the second half of the season? I mean, they're just looking, oh, look at the roster, look at the rotation, look at all these guys in the lineup. If you actually watch them play, you realize this team's not that good. I mean, they're not. And I got to say, this is a funny line.
You said the Mets aren't that good. So who would you pick to win the series?
Well,
you picked the Phillies in five.
I did pick the Phillies in five. It was a hard overhead pick. I should have just picked the Mets, if I was being honest. But I do need to, you know, because another reason why I'm excited about the Sixers is because Tobias isn't on the team anymore. And I said a couple weeks ago, I was so happy when I saw him in a Detroit Pistons uniform. It just fits him so well. But I got to give credit to our colleague Spike Eskin for this one, because we're watching the game together for game two, and I hope Spike doesn't mind me divulging this, but Spike came up with a great line in regards to Trey Turner. Tobias Turner. I mean, that has some legs. That needs to be...
Tobias Turner.
That needs to become a thing. Tobias Turner is his new name until further notice.
It's not bad.
He's Tobias level. I mean, when you look at the contract and what he gives you in the playoffs, he is very Tobias-like. A lot of
very underwhelming,
there.
Very overpaid. You're probably
and
not
awful in big moments.
Awful
you know
in big
he's
moments.
Gonna screw you. Yeah, he's always gonna screw you.
Tobias Harris never had the standing ovation, but there's a lot of parallels.
Yeah,
there
you go. Tobias Turner is his new name. Let's go to Dylan in Phoenixville. What's up, Dylan?
How are you, Tom?
How you doing, man? I'm not great.
Me either, but I was thinking about your thoughts. After Hoffman finishes, I think it's the fifth inning, we have to get to game five. Why not send Wheeler out there?
Yeah, Dylan, and you know, the Wheeler thing was something that people had talked about coming into this game, and Thompson said he was available in case of emergency. I guess that's true. What I would have done coming in, I would have had Wheeler available to close so you could start him in game five. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to compromise him for game five, but I think he could have closed the game tonight and you still could have started him Friday. But hey, to your point, if you don't win this game, Friday doesn't matter anyway.
Exactly. If you don't win this game, Friday doesn't matter. And Thompson has to see the bats aren't going. They haven't been going all series besides one game. And it was a couple hitters. Wheeler goes out there, you shut them down, you win 1-0. Sanchez at home has been a killer. You take your chances. You have a game five.
Yeah, no, it's fair, Dylan. Again, I was okay with not using him early in the game. I would have waited because I wanted him to potentially start a game five, and maybe that's my fault. I was trusting the offense to do more. But I think the move that we're really going to look at with that sixth inning is Sanchez should have been the guy that he went to. I mean, you had Sanchez. If you didn't want to use Wheeler, fine. Let's just, for the sake of this conversation, take him out of it. You could have used Sanchez, and maybe he could have pitched the sixth and seventh for you.
Absolutely. And then as soon as that half inning, the top of the sixth, was an extended inning, I wouldn't have sent Hall. There's no way I would have sent Hoffman back out there as a reliever on that long of a rest.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the way he looked in his first outing, and then boom. I mean, I want to trade him.
Yeah, Dylan, and hey, man, I don't think you're going to be the only one. I think that's going to be a very common theme this offseason, and I think it's on the table. I think just the feelings around Alec Bohm in the city right now are not good. Obviously, this was a nightmare series for him, and honestly, maybe a change of scenery is the best thing for him.
It just looked like a lack of effort. Like, that play at third base, it was first and second. Marte's running at him. He looks like he's jogging to the ball. He bobbles the ball twice. It just changes the scene. Like, this team has talent. But, again, Turner, I don't think he's worth the contract. Boom, I don't think he's good enough. We got to change stuff up. We're not going to win nothing. I can't blame it on Topper because the team didn't hit. The bullpen didn't perform. They performed all year. He went to his guys. It is what it is. But the team didn't hit. We didn't perform. The starting pitching, I was okay with. Wheeler dealt. Ranger did his thing tonight. Sanchez, fine. Nola, he did what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he gave up a home run here or there. But at the end of the day, the hitters have to show up. We pay all this money for nothing.
Yeah, no, it's true, Dylan, and appreciate the call, man. Yeah, in the end, the starting pitching wasn't the problem. And I guess this is why I'm not coming down as hard on Rob Thompson, because the more you do look at it, as that top of the sixth went on, he probably should not have sent Hoffman back out. Again, I kind of get why he did, because, hey, Hoffman's his best reliever. You don't really have a ton of other guys you feel great about. But you could have gone to Sanchez there. I guess the reason why I'm not coming down on Thompson as much is just because, I mean, you know, you got to score runs. I mean, Rob Thompson's not going up there swinging the bat. And you spent $1 billion on this offense. And, I mean, they couldn't score. And that's why you lost the series. And we can dissect the bullpen moves. Could Rob have done this? Could he have done that? And fair. But ultimately, I lay this on the offense and the massive failure by this offense to score runs in this series. Let's go to our buddy Bam. What's up, Bam? How you feeling, buddy?
Yo, TK, man. This goes to prove. Remember in 08 when we won the World Series, right? This goes to show that history repeats itself. History repeats itself. We won the World Series in 08. Then we went to the NLCS. We lost. And then we lost in the NLDS the next year. Then we became a wild card. And I want to blame John Middleton for this and Rob Dombrowski for this, because at the trade deadline, we could have went and got Jazz Chisholm or Cody Bellinger. But no, he didn't want to do that.
Yeah, no, Bam. And when you look at that part of it, Dombrowski's trade deadline was an absolute disaster. I mean, I tweeted out earlier, I think when all things considered, considering where this team was and the – additions that he ended up making, I think it's the worst trade deadline in the history of the city.
Yes, it is. It is. And he's going, he's almost up there with Josh Harris, man. He's always, he's almost up there as Josh Harris as an as a owner in the city of Philadelphia. Man, Tom, I'm ready for the orange and black, man. I'm ready for the orange and black.
Yeah? You're fired up, Bam?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm fired up.
Well, there you go, buddy. Well, appreciate the call. Flyers starting tomorrow, or is it tonight or tomorrow? I think the Flyers start tonight. Yeah. 10 o'clock puck drop in Vancouver. So, yeah, we'll be fired up and excited for the Flyers to start. Michkov season is on, and yeah, I mean, I'm honestly bummed we don't have any more Phillies, but the Flyers don't start tonight. The Flyers start tomorrow night, Friday night, in Vancouver at 10 o'clock. So make sure you're getting excited for the Flyers and the Sixers in a couple weeks. Let's go to our buddy Gus. What's up, Gus?
So what's going to be, or who's going to be your alternative team next year?
What do you mean my alternative team? The Phillies are going to be my team.
Oh, okay. In spite of the fact that all these guys that you hate are coming back?
Yeah, I mean, I can be frustrated with the team, and I'll still root for the team, Gus.
You're more than frustrated tonight, pal.
I am.
You're furious.
Well, Gus, that was an atrocious performance by the Phillies.
I know, but what I'm saying is, listen, by the way, comparing the Phillies to the Sixers is really a slur against the Sixers, because the Sixers at least give you good theater. I mean, they give you memorable moments in the course of a playoff.
Like, what, like when they quit in Game 7 in Boston? That's a good moment, Gus?
But even in that series, there were tremendous games and tremendous performances.
Yeah, and then they folded up like dogs.
Wait a minute. This was a show that would have closed on opening night.
Well, Gus, Game 2 was a great moment.
This Philly series, you can't even comment on it. It's that bad.
Gus, Game two was a great moment on Sunday.
They were no show. This was a no. Yeah, the Mets handed them the second game. There's no there here. There isn't. You know, and to help you out a little bit on looking forward to the Phillies. Yeah, you can trade Baum. Yeah, you can trade Stott. I don't know if you're going to get comparable value for them necessarily. I mean, you trade them out of this sense of pique, but it's not going to move the team. The guys that you're most incensed about, you're not going to move any of those guys because their contracts are, as you said, you've already admitted that you can't move those people. The two people that I'm curious about, Schwarber, what's his contract?
He's got 1 year left on the deal.
All right. That guy you might be able to move.
Well, why would you want to move Schwarber, though?
You might have to give up Schmorbombs.
Gus, why would you? I know he had a bad series, but why would you trade Kyle Schwarber? He's one of the only guys who you have on a decent deal.
I'm saying, if you want, you might not want to. It's up, it's a debate. It's a discussion. If you want to change the character of this team, then you move Schwarber for young players that can be adjutants on the field, that can be leadoff hitters, that can get on base, that can move, can run, that can do things, the small ball type things that this team cannot do and will not do, because this team gets paid too much money to be comfortable doing what they can't do in the playoffs, but which they can do in the regular season. They're not going to get them to change. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. But if you want to change the constitution of this team and the personality, trade Schwarbaum. You're going to miss those Schwarbaums because they're very popular during the season. They don't win you anything in the playoffs, but you might make a change. Because as you are going forward, as you said, and we agree, believe it or not, this team is not going to improve at all in the playoffs if you keep it as is.
I agree, Gus. They do need to make changes. I will say this, though. I don't like the glee you're taking in the Phillies losing. Because I can tell you're enjoying this tonight.
I don't really dislike the Phillies, but I dislike What I dislike is the swag.
What you don't like is people taking swipes at your precious Sixers. That's what you don't like.
No. You see, that's a cheap shot.
Well, it's true.
The thing, what I don't like is this, we're bad. This whole swag thing with the Phillies, it's part of this whole Eagles. Wait, by the way, wait till the Eagles lose to Cleveland on Sunday. Oh, my God.
Okay, Gus, I can't take it. I can't take any more of the negativity, Gus. Don't be coming on here saying the Browns are going to beat the Eagles. I can't do that anymore. But one more, and we'll get in the next segment here. We'll get to Dave Dombrowski and his culpability in all this, because I do think what he did this off season, and then subsequently the trade deadline was absolutely inexcusable. But can we now all agree, as Phillies fans, as a baseball community, that we can let go of the idea that Stubby has any value to this team? Can we please admit that the CVO brings nothing in the end?
The vibes aren't that great anymore.
The vibes aren't great. I mean, when you really look at it, everything went downhill the second he made that stupid comment about running out to the pool and jumping in the pool in Arizona. Stubby needs to go. We need to change the vibes.
Change up with the backup catcher.
Change the vibes. Because I thought Stubby, I mean, he needed to be here all season long because vibes. Not because of anything that he does tangibly on the field. I think we can agree that Stubby doesn't really give any value now, and he probably should move on.
Get Rafael Marchand up there.
He can find a new DJing job in a different clubhouse somewhere else.
Boy, that playoff mix they released this year really got some runway this time around.
Yeah, I'm great. They're focused on the right things. They JT said that when the bright lights came on, they thought they'd get going in the postseason, but nice to see that they were painstakingly going over their playoff mix, you know. So
they got to use it when they clinched the NL East and then one time?
Short run, but shout out to the Armonte brothers, I believe.
Yeah, they're really the biggest losers in all. If they had gone on a run, they would have been played over and over again.
They got a nice little week out of it. So there you go.
By the way,
speaking of vibes, this is terrible for the vibes. I think Kalem Scott is live.
That's what I was just
going to
say. Live tonight in Philadelphia at the Fillmore.
Yeah. That's tomorrow?
I believe so.
Okay. And I don't have anything against the guy. Nobody should go to that concert out of protest. All right. He's got to be the saddest guy right now.
He thought he was going to do it right in the middle of a playoff run on an off night.
He will literally be dancing on his own at his own concert tomorrow night because nobody's going to show up.
No one's going to sing
because
along.
Because the vibes are dead. 215-592-9494.
Thank you, Stubby.
When we get back, we'll get to Dave Dombrowski, get to more of your calls. I'm Tom Kelly with you after a Phillies loss right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, We'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.